E2. Number 4, B.
And does she actually, in every sentence and every paragraph, just always say the same thing over and over again? And naturally we could see that she doesn't. That she doesn't say in every paragraph just always that same tone of mind. And so when John Dolittle was analyzing why on earth did he feel that over two pages always is the same tone of mind, the prayer of mind, and yet there are so many sentences, so many paragraphs, he began to say, now what is the difference from paragraph to paragraph? And in doing that, he began to realize that this prayer of mind was presented in seven subtones. That the main tonality was still mind, still the desire to know God as He is, but that that tone would be varied in a sevenfold way. Through mind, through spirit, through souls, through principle, life, truth, and love. So that he didn't have just one tone mind, but that he had, so to say, a pedal note of mind, just going through those two pages, and then all the variations of that pedal note through mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Then, when he would take the second prayer, the prayer of spirit, he would feel the same way and would see that over two or three pages, Mrs. Eddy would vary that tone of the prayer of spirit through the seven, still keeping the tonality of spirit, but in variation. And so with each succeeding one, which brought forth what? That you had, so to say, seven subjects, seven main subjects of prayer, but each subject of prayer subdivided through seven subtones. So that we, at that time, were speaking, that was our language at that time, that the layout, we called it layout, of the chapter of prayer is seven by seven. That was the way we did it. Today we could represent what we were spelling out in this diagram which you have in front of you, which would just in an orderly way present here the chapter on prayer. Whereby now, if we now go back to what we have learned about matrices, or about matrix, that the seven main subjects of prayer would be written here on the top. That would be the first index, the main tone of prayer, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, written on the top as columns. That was the first thing we had, and then finding the subtones. So the subtones would be the second index, which we would write, or could write today, here on the left-hand side. And those two together, those two indices together, main tone and subtone, could give a matrix. At that time we didn't speak about the matrix naturally. It's just, as I said, we said it's a layout, and it is a 7 times 7. So can you see what the text of prayer is? Those 16 or 17 pages could be reduced just to this one little page, and we would know exactly how prayer is presented. Let's quickly run without any notes, just creatively going through that prayer of mind, which would be the first vertical column, which is that prayer of true desire to know God as He is, That was our epitome, say, of mind here. And keeping that tonality, Mrs. Eddy would vary it through the seven subtones and would say in mind as mind, that really the divine mind will form our true desire. You know that mind molds and forms what? The true desire to know God as He is. So the subtone would show that mind is really forming our knowledge of God. In spirit, she would say that this desire to know God as He is would be substance, would have its reward, would not be in vain, would have its substance. That in soul, it would say that this knowledge of God which we get through that true desire is an unchangeable God. So, in principle, she would show us the nature of principle, that this has within itself the power to give harmony and demonstrate itself. In life, she would say that that desire to know God as He is would bring down the fullness of life more than what we are able to accept. That in truth, it would show us that the divine mind is already doing right truth without being reminded of it. And that in love, she would show that this true desire of mind would show that the solution is already established, already at the point of fulfillment. Can you see the flow of it? You still keep the prayer of mind, of the prayer of true desire to know God as He is, and she will present the God as He is. And then there will come a definite break, and you can feel it in reading it, that she breaks the subject and goes to the second column of spirit and will present, say, the prayer of spirit, of spiritual qualities, and would through subtones present those spiritual qualities of mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love. That was perhaps the starting point, I would say, without that we knew it, of beginning to think structurally in relationship, in categories. And from that point on, we could see that we cannot read intelligently the textbook by just picking out here a sentence and there a sentence, even if those sentences are very powerful and very big, even if an individual sentence has been a great help in our life. See, an atomistic truth is still an atomistic truth. So it isn't said that it can't have an impact, a saving impact. But just as we had a time in the development of the sciences, where at the beginning you had the French encyclopedists, you call it encyclopedists, yes, where their sense of science was to gather as many facts as possible and put them into big volumes and just gather and gather and gather all their findings in every field. But that is an encyclopedic knowledge, and that's not science. And reading the textbook in a sentence-like way is like the encyclopedists, just single statements. But science really is only then when one begins to see the flow from sentence to sentence, the relationship and the logic from sentence to sentence, when one begins to see big breaks in the subject where another category starts. And so little by little, instead of having a linear representation of prayer that goes over a few hundred sentences, you just have it no more linearly, but in a matrix structured. So after that, Mr. Dolly was already also awakened to investigate part of the chapter of Science of Being, and there too he began to see that within the first 30 or so pages, in the first part of that chapter, he also could see a layout of the 7x7. And I remember so well at that time, that was enough to chemicalize his students. That was the point where already quite a few of his students began to doubt his teaching and began to turn away. It was too much. You see, the new paradigm that has been introduced at that point, to think structurally instead of linearly, to think structurally and categorically and relationally instead of atomistically, was just too much for the religious thought. The religious thought just is not educated for that. The scientific thought is educated for that, and so those who were used to think in science naturally just threw up their hat and said, "My golly, we got it, huh? We got it." You have no idea the joy we had in those years. Those were the most beautiful years, those years before the war and during the war, where just one new revelation in the way of science just poured on us. We felt like king in this world. We just felt like ruling the whole world, found the pearl without price. Because for the first time we could see there was a religious history lying behind us for some 2,000 or 3,000 years, all trying to see the signs of it and never found it. And even seeing that we had a Christian Science textbook and not finding the signs in it, and then suddenly finding the first faint gleam of some order in it. Think of what we felt when we could see an order of that kind in a text that was unordered, that was read unordered. Think of the joy. And therefore you can understand why so many of us who were young and had a wonderful business career and possibility in front of us were willing to say, "Go to hell with that, it's not worth it." Huh? And were willing to take on us all the sacrifices that we had to take on us, without organization behind our back, without any means. We were still young, and had not yet a big fortune. And to say, "Let's put everything into it." That was only possible because we saw the bigness of that thing. And you can see, perhaps, even now, what it must have meant at that time. Yes, then came a further step. Mr. Dawley didn't go on investigating, say, the structure of each chapter at that time, because at that very time something wonderful happened. We were attacked. We were criticized and attacked because the Christian Science field said, "You know, John Dawley, you are all wrong. You are absolutely wrong. Because you always say that the synonymous terms follow a definite order, namely that order which Mrs. Eddy gives in the answer to the question, what is God, namely mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. There are other orders in the textbook, like the one on page 115 on the scientific translation of Immortal Mind, another one in the glossary." So this was a good criticism, which made him think, now what is the answer to that? What is the answer? And naturally, very quickly, he could see that a new category had to be introduced into that simple category of the seven synonymous terms. Namely, he could see that the word, that the order of those seven synonymous terms were not just the order of the synonymous term, but that it was the order of the word. And word belongs to another category than the seven synonymous terms. So he began to investigate and say, "Oh, that's it. There is another category which I have to take into consideration, namely the four sides of the Holy City. Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. A completely new category." So he began to shift his interest at that point, round about 1903, 39, autumn, all through the winter, and 40, those years, to shift his interest in investigating the four sides of the holy city. And he found, oh yes, here is a big thing, namely that we have to consider that the key to the scriptures were not only Genesis, with the 7 days of creation corresponding with the world order, but that there is also the Apocalypse with the climax of the four, and began to introduce the four. There again, he started, so to say, with a checklist. He had just in his list four terms: Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Then the same thing happened as before, that in studying the Bible, where John in Apocalypse would depict that city foursquare, that he would show that every side of the city had three gates, so that the light could shine through those gates. In other words, that each gate would reflect, that each side would reflect the light of the other sides of the city. That actually, therefore, you could see that the Word is not just bluntly the Word, but that the Word could be combined with all the four, so that the Word is the Word in its own aspect as the Word, but also that the Word reflects the Christ and reflects Christianity and reflects science, and so with every other side, so that we would get a symbolization of a 4x4 relationship, you see, 4x4 relationship, which again, if put into a matrix form, looks like this, that you have vertically the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, but each would reflect the other one, and so the second index again would be Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, and that the point of intersection would give us the 16 aspects of that calculus. He could see that those four are actually the modus operandi of being, and so he called it the calculus, because the calculus is the calculation, the modus operandi, through the use of symbols. So this was somehow dawning on him during that time, at the beginning of the Second World War, and he began to think in terms of the 4x4s. But he didn't yet quite know what the meaning is of all that. He just could feel somehow the impact of it, and then soon afterwards he began to study in the textbook The Platform. And The Platform, as you know, has 32 sections, and reading those 32 sections, he could easily see that it gave a layout, namely that the first eight would show, first 8 point would show the Word, the second eight the Christ, the third eight Christianity, and the fourth eight science. And it's something which you will see very easily once the thought is awakened to it. See, you can see it very easily, especially when you read the first eight. You can see she's speaking about the Godhead, the nature of the Godhead. Then the second eight, suddenly she brings in Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and the Christ, than Christ in its wide application, that even the patriarchs and so on had a sense of the Christ. And then after those eight, she changes the tone completely, and you can't help feeling it at once, that the third eight are talking of all about Christianity. And then she would change again and give the last eight, which had all to do with understanding, and that if we understand, we gain perfection. So he began to see, round about 1942, that platform in those four times eight symbolization, and then he was asking himself, now, why eight section just for one category, the word? And so naturally began to investigate further and say, now, what are these eight? And little by little he began to see actually what he felt would happen, namely that there is a 4x4 presentation, namely that the first eight point in the word would show word as the word in two questions or in two points, then another 2 point word as Christ, and then word as Christianity, and then word as science. Something like this here. Here you have the platform, those 32 points, and in those 32 points you have the word vertical, Christ vertical, Christianity and science vertical, and the horizontal word, Christ, Christianity and science. Each point of intersection, each box taking up really 2 points, each one. And then he naturally would ask himself, now, what is then why 2 points for one box? And he could see that Mrs. Eddy even would stress something more than that, namely that the first point would always be showing the aspect from the point of view of Christian science, and the second point from the point of view of absolute Christian science. Therefore we have 4 times 4, 16, and each one from the point of view of Christian science and of absolute Christian science, 2 times 16, 32.